Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to be with you on this 15th day of March 2020. We're going to be looking at good. What is good? Is there such a thing? Boy, it's hard to find in many, many ways in this world. So we're gonna play with this a little bit. I've got three wonderful, wonderful questions that people have sent to me. And if you ever want to send me a question, you don't have to give me your name if you don't want to, or tell me to, you know, not announce it or where you live. But that would be lovely if you could do that. And just send it to Greg@aspire.org. Greg@aspire.org. I would love to hear from you. I really would. Your questions are vital to me. They mean a great deal to me, and you have no idea what they may do to help another person. You just have no idea, neither do I. But believe me, they do, and they provoke other questions, and that keeps the ball rolling and allows me to help you in every way I possibly can here on the radio. So I hope that you will, ask a question and let me hear from you. I want to thank my sponsors for today. They're the ones that make all this possible. Without them, I would not be on the air right now. And I want to thank them for their kindness and their generosity. If you are not a sponsor, I want you to, you know, try to understand. You are listening to this radio program due to the kindness and generosity of someone who cared enough about you without ever knowing you to make all this possible through their tax-deductible donation, their quarterly or monthly donations. And this really, really helps us. It's the only way we are able to sustain this radio program, our BATMO project with the kids, and my work at hospice, plus all the other things that I do. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little button there that says support. That little four-letter word means a great deal to Aspire because it allows us to maintain. If you just hit that button, a drop menu will come down and it will say why support Aspire, and it will tell you where your donations go and how important they are and why it is so important to help us sustain a program that is very, very, very rare and extinct for most people. Most part, it just doesn't exist on anywhere, on radio or on anything. So there you are. I hope you will help. Let's look at the word good. Good, 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 good. To be deserved or approved of, according to the dictionary. Something pleasing and welcoming. Having the qualities required for a particular role. Appropriate to a particular purpose. On and on and on and on this word good goes. But what is good? One moment Jesus was called a good master, and he said, "Why calleth me good? There are none good but that of God," as he said. So, you know, he's teaching us about a lot of different things in that beautiful statement. There's more being said by Buddha, Jesus, Lhasa, in just brief little statements that they make than we are willing at all to process because we're so literal-minded. But nevertheless, and less than ever, here we go. We're going to look at what the word good means to different people. First question comes from Lionel, and he does not tell me where he lives. "I've been thinking about good a lot in my life. I try to be good. But exactly what is good? For one man's meat," he says here, "is another man's poison." Lionel, you're a good thinker. I think you really get it, good thinker. Anyway, you're on to something. One man's meat's another man's poison. One thing that's good for me may not be good for you, blah, 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 blah. Hence politics. And this is why everybody is so interested in politics. We can fight over who gets the good, who gets the lion's share, as it were. So you are right. What is good? I don't think in terms of good. I think good is a very dangerous thing, extremely dangerous. Because what may truly be good, let's say, for you may not be good for me by how I define the word good. That is, good is anything that benefits me and makes my life easier or more convenient, comfortable. And that's the way most people would look at good. Well, that's good. I just made a lot of money, so therefore I don't have to work as hard, blah, blah. Oh, that's good. I met the right person, and now I can get married. We just had a child. That's good. I don't know. Well, you know, it's proving the worth of your DNA. Boy, there's a lot of ideas and ideals about what is good. What is good for you? That would be another one. What do you think, Lionel, would be good for you? Would $1 million be good for you? Would $10 million really be good for you? Would it be good for you to leave your job? Would it be good for you to just have nothing to do but what you wanted to do? Would it be good for you to be well and healthy? Would it be good for you to be happy? What if happiness were not a quality of consciousness, which it is, but is a state of maybe your worldly life, and you think of good as that kind of thing, your worldly life. What is good? That's the question. And it's a very interesting question, because good when you were 5 years old or 7 years old is not the same good as, let's say, 11 years old or 12 years old. And it's not the same good maybe when you're 25 years old. It changes, it fluctuates. Life is always in a flux. It is a very dangerous thing, very, very dangerous, because it is easy to fall into my immaturity, emotionally speaking. Good is usually defined by the state of my emotional nature, my emotions per se. They are the things that guide and tell me what is good, what is bad, what is comfortable, what is in my interest, what's in my favor, all of that. And that's what people are looking for, a good life. Now, I do a lot of hospice work, and a lot of the people that are leaving their body leave it with the idea, well, I had a good life. In other words, I'm moving on, don't know where I'm going, don't know how this is all going to work out. They have their religious beliefs and all of that, but actually what they are thinking and what they are telling me with their lips is, I don't mind dying, I had a good life. Really? Okay, what denotes a good life? You had money, you had a mate, you had kids, you didn't have a lot of problems, but you had some problems, you got the things you wanted, you traveled, you did the things you thought you wanted to do. What constitutes a good life? Well, people then will say to me, well, I was loved. I had a big family. We made a lot of kids, and luckily they're kind of supporting themselves and yada yada da, and that's a good life, really. And that's as far as it goes. Whatever happened in the physical world was the demarcation for not having a bad life. And yeah, and people think that. I have a hard time with it. I don't see it being that way. To me, a good life has nothing to do with ease of operation and comfort, which most people think of it as. To me, a good life, since you're asking me, Lionel, is, did I successfully break the chain of birth and death in me? Have I ceased this ongoing repetition of incarnations where I come into a human carcass, a human body, or any form at all, for that matter, and I live in this human carcass as a human being with all the trappings of all the difficulties that come with having a body, having to maintain it, take care of it, feed it, clothe it, walk it, exercise it, have it be judged by other people, you know, capacity? What is my my mental acuity? What is my capacity as a person? Blah, blah. What is, you know, good and bad, right and wrong? It just goes on and on and on. And the way most people think of it is that they had a good life if they had a lot of things happen to them that were pleasurable or brought about pleasure. In other words, gratification. Did I have a gratifying life? Let's just say it. Did I have a gratifying life? And that's the way most of us think. And if you think a good life has to do with that gratification, that is up to you. To me, it has to do not with gratification, but whether or not I found the authentic, the real authentic. And what is the authentic? It is nothing my mind can recognize. It's nothing that Greg would ever be able to appreciate, or Lionel. It is love, but it is not the love you want romantically or practically or any of that. It is the love that exceeds human concept, human emotionality, and it lives in each and every one of us, and how few of us are willing to make the sacrifices to let love live us. How very, very few. And that's what an authentic spiritual practice is all about. To be able to enter into a love that is greater than the human form of love. You've heard the term being good-hearted. The human heart cannot be good because it can only be selfish. And even when it tries to help other people and seem a little selfless, it is doing it for the sake of being selfless. It's doing it for the sake of a goal. The only authentic heart there is that is meaningful is that of love. Authentic love, the real heart. And that is what an authentic spiritual practice is all about. To live in not the human heart, but the authentic. That is what matters in this world more than anything. It brings about karma and all sorts of beautiful things into our life that is absolutely superb, exquisite, can't be explained. It is a bliss beyond the idea of a bliss. And I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. Lionel, thank you for your beautiful question. You're a wonderful emailer, and I hope you email again with another question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Ryan. What good is good, he said, Greg, in a world that is evil? Ryan. It's a good question. It's a really, really insightful. What good is good in a world that is just, lathering and living in what he called evil? And we do. This world has trumped up, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's really trumped up. Evil is now the norm. And, you know, it doesn't matter if a politician lies anymore. If they get caught in the lie, you just ignore it and think, oh, the spin wasn't right on that one. I'll spin it better next time. And that's what they do. Spin it again. We don't call them on it. Why? Well, that's because of our own sense of good. We want to be right. And for most people, right is good. And that's, Ryan, this is what the whole issue is. When I think I'm right, I'm good. And that leads to misunderstanding at every level of life. Every nuance of my life matters. So if I'm thinking in terms of my self-righteousness or my self-preservation, I think whatever I think, say, or do in all of that is good. And anything I can do to achieve that good is what matters, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's what people, well, not Greg, but that's what people do. We live in a lot of evil. So whatever it takes to get whatever we want, whenever we want it, is the big deal. And with that being said, now you understand why the earth is the way the earth is, why the world is the way the world is, why people suffer the way they do, because everybody is trying to get their good, which helps them, at the cost of somebody else's pain and sorrow. It can't be helped. Now, Ryan, I want to help you with this. What good is good in an evil world? Somebody has to draw the line. You have to draw the line within you. When is enough enough? When will it begin with me? I have to decide a very important thing in my life. When will my living change because I have decided that enough is enough? The good must begin with me. The change in the world must begin with me. Gandhi's statement, the good you wish to see in the world, you and I have to live. And he is right. It starts with us. Changing the ebb and the flow of a person's life, changing the way they live their life, changing the dynamics of my energies, coming from self-preservation and self-righteousness to kindness, compassion, love, is a very big deal. What good does it do? Well, sometimes it awakens some people, and other times it awakens me, the giver. And it is the giver, as Gibran said, that should be grateful. You start to change your attitude, my attitude, about the way you and I have lived our life. And once that has been changed, once that we really see what that is all about, that's when, many wonderful things begin to happen within us. Then we don't need to take as much from the world for the sake of our comfort or our sense of security. And that leaves room for other people, doesn't it? To acquiesce our life in giving, to give without the idea of compensation or getting something for my giving, is a huge, huge move in a person's life. To really be good and to offer good for the sake of goodness itself. In this, Ryan, is a mercy. This mercy is tremendous. It gives form and meaning to everything that is most important in the course of a person's lifetime. It really does. Does it change the planet? No. Did Buddha change the planet? No. Did Jesus? No. Did Gandhi? No. Did Dr. Martin Luther King? No, not really. A lot of prejudice, a lot of ugliness, a lot of racial stuff exists, probably even more than when they lived, because there's so many more people on the planet. The object is not to change the earth and the people of the earth. The object is for me to transcend, to awaken to transcending, to awaken to the fact that I am not a part of the, as you put it here, the evil anymore. Until I recognize the state of my being, I'm just as capable as anyone else on this planet of evil. And I can do as many evil things as anyone else until I realize that this lifetime that we are all in together is a matter of spiritual transformation. To transcend this earth, to transcend our hatred, our fear, to transcend our insecurity for our own survival, to put the goodness out there, goodness ahead of desire, ambition, pride, vanity, insecurity. So you got to take into account DNA, genetic disposition. If I go into my DNA and genetic dispositions, I'm going to miss everything that is most important, everything that is most beautiful, everything that sustains love and kindness. That is what it's really all about. And for a lot of people, this is just too much to ask, to put the goodness, your goodness, ahead of what I call mine. It has to begin with me. It isn't going to change. Everything that is on this earth that would bring us to love has to begin with me. On an individual basis, in my own world, in my own life, to put mercy ahead of hatred. And that's a tough one for a lot of people because it goes against their DNA and their genetic nature. There you are. Ryan, read the book, Behave, by Robert Sapolsky. Read it. It will teach you many, many things. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, Ryan. Namaste. Susan from Los Angeles, last question. She writes me from time to time. And Susan, I want to thank you for your kind words about I Gotcha. It is a fun series. It was done out of the heart. We wanted to do something totally different, and we did on Aspire, and that one was really a lot of fun. What good is good? She says, what good is it to be good when everyone else isn't? Susan. Susan. Oh, do you do what everybody else does? You know, what did your mother ever or father say? You know, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you? Well, truthfully, most people would. If everybody's jumping off a cliff, they jump off too. If the norm is to lie, cheat, and steal, and everybody else is doing it, well, then I guess you should do it. A monkey see, monkey do. And monkeys are smarter than that, so they don't do these kind of things from what I've read. So here's the deal. What good is it to be good in an evil world? What good is, good? Should you be good? This is up to you, but I'm going to say this to you, and I hope you can hear me. Everything that I do, I'm going to just keep it in my ballpark, forms a karma. Every little nuance of how I do anything, even the smallest, is how I'll do everything. So if I'm going to do good in this world, if I'm going to do love in this world, if I'm going to do kindness in this world, I have to be dedicated to that, not for the sake of my karma, because then my goodness is a little tinged by my desire to only have good happen to me. You do good because you can. You can do evil because you can. And you can do good because you can. But what is this good? And I'll tell you what it is. To love them that have despitefully used you. To forgive them that know not what they do. To live in the blessed state of compassion, to want love more than wanting what I think is love for Gregory. These are simple little things that you can live from that can change the ebb and the flow of your karma and bring you to another place in your livings, a place where mercy reigns supreme. And wouldn't that be interesting? To have a life that is filled with a merciful state of loving kindness. Imagine, if you will, what it would be like to no longer live in the deep guilt and shame that most people live in, that they refuse to admit exists in them because they don't want to see what they've done, or they don't want to keep doing what they're doing and pay the price for that. There is a tremendous goodness in human beings, not as the human itself, but in them. And in that goodness, if you just turn it a little to the left and up, you will see it brings great, great beauty into this world and into yourself. And by doing this kind of good, you and I do a great deal of love in our life. Let love live you. I'm out of here. We're out of time. Thank you for all of your questions. Be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.